The following podcast is scheduled for one fall with a 20-minute time limit.
You used to call me on my. You used to. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone.
Hello and welcome to a brand new installment of Nintendo News Report for Wednesday, August 28th, 2019. I'm Donald Terriel, and I'm joined tonight by a man who might be a little too young to understand what the deal is with Aladdin and the Lion King, Xander Morningstar.
Yeah, that's me. Hello. I've never played either of these games. I've heard about them a lot, but they are before my time. They are before my time.
Yeah, we'll have a little bit more on that war that ended up being kind of disappointing here in a bit, but the big story of the day seems to be the news of what's happening with Shovel Knight. Yacht Club Games had their own little pre-PAX video today. Basically, they've confirmed the release window and some more details for the Shovel Knight Treasure Trove that's already out on 3DS, Switch, and Wii U, somehow. And so that'll be out in December. And they also announced a full-on new game, teaming up with the developers of Bomb Chicken to create something that looks to be inspired by Dig Dug or Steam World Dig, which, well, if you're going to go somewhere with Shovel Knight and it's not Shovel Knight 64, you might as well go with a Dig Dug style or Mr. Driller style game.
Yeah, I was thinking that they were going to do something like SteamWorld Dig, make it like a rogue type of game. I literally saw this in the news feed as I was riding the elevator up to my room for this recording session, so I'm very unfamiliar what it is, but if it's like a Dig Dug style game, you know, that sounds very interesting. That's not something that you see very often, so, you know, and I trust Yacht Club. I've really enjoyed everything that they've put out, so it's exciting to see that they're evolving a little bit, even though I thought that they were trying to get away from Shovel Knight. I thought that after this King Knight expansion that they were going to be done with it for a while, but it sounds like they're gung-ho. They're making that like battle royale type of game against other Shovel Knight players, and then now there's this Dig Dug thing, and they've got the amiibo coming, so Shovel Knight, it's still here.
Still a threat. Yeah, the King of the Hill style game, the Shovel Knight Showdown, that's actually going to come with the Treasure Trove update in December, along with those amiibo that you mentioned. And they also outlined what those amiibo are going to do, basically adding new challenge modes and adding some additional functionality to the older games in the package. So, have you played much of Shovel Knight since it came out? I know it's been about 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a minute. I think the last time I played it was around the Switch launch. But I played it on the 3DS first, and then I played it on my Mac, and then I played it again on the Wii U when the Plague Knight DLC was added. And then I played it again when the Switch came out, and I played through Plague Knight's campaign, and then also Spectre Knight. So I'm familiar with Shovel Knight. I've only played through Plague Knight and Spectre Knight's DLC once each, but I've played through the Shovel Knight campaign several times, and I'm pretty familiar with it. It's just weird for me because it's honestly not my style game. I'm not a huge retro-style 2D platformer like Mega Man's never been my thing, but I was weirdly into Shovel Knight, so I don't know what it is.
Yeah. So I'm as somebody who blatantly cheated their way through Shovel Knight on Vita, I'm really loving the fact that they're going to have new cheat codes, especially since they're pulling what appears to be something straight out of the Touch Fuzzy Get Dizzy motif from Yoshi's Island.
Oh no. So is there an LCD level?
No, basically the whole in that level in Yoshi's Island, if you touch the fuzzy enemies, the screen just starts waving, goes all wavy and pastel and off color. And basically they've got an entire mode now of Shovel Knight. You'll be able to play the whole game that way.
Oh, awesome. That's just what we need. Okay, so there's going to be different runs that are the Touch Fuzzy Get Dizzy Shovel Knight run. Cool.
So like we said, that'll be the it looks like the the game with Nitrone, the Bomb Chicken devs. That'll be out. That'll be the next project after that. So that's going to be 2020 at the earliest. Apparently, it's been in development for about a year, but.
So it's going to be like 2022.
Well, I mean, yeah, and Yacht Club is doing, like, they have that game they announced, I think, before PAX East, Cyber Shadow, that they're publishing, but they're not necessarily developing. So that, so they're branching out from Shovel Knight a little bit, but yeah, you go with what you got. I mean, Nintendo's put a Mario game every year out every year since I was three, so at least in North America. Okay. So I guess that's why they do that. Something interesting that happened on Monday that might pertain to something that we'll see in the next couple of weeks here. Somebody spotted on Amazon a listing for a Switch case by the company PowerA, who do a lot of the licensed Switch accessories, except this one was for Overwatch, which is, as we know, most definitely not a Switch game right now.
Right, right.
So,
and I think that the company who made that case, I think, made the Diablo 3 case as well, which looks pretty similar. Yeah. So maybe that has something to do with it.
So that, of course, set everybody off, because now there's rumors of a possible Nintendo Direct next week, which, if you know, if you've been following sort of when the Directs have been announced for, and you know that Nintendo probably wants to get out ahead of Tokyo Game Show, I think next Thursday, honestly, seems like the last time that you could have one. And if you're going to have that, oh my god, big third-party announcement in the Direct, well, you could probably do worse than Overwatch.
Right, right. I could see them having kind of a low-key Direct where they, you know, they end, or they show off Overwatch. You know, they'd probably do, like, one more push for Astral Chain and maybe Link's Awakening and Luigi's Mansion, because all three of those games are about to come out. They could also drop their holiday title, because I don't think that that's been something that they've pushed. I don't think that there's
one big thing that's going to come out in November, which is, of course, Pokemon. So
yeah, of course, Pokemon.
But
sure,
Nintendo internal doesn't seem to have anything after Link's Awakening, honestly, for the rest of the year, unless they drop something into the Smash Brothers slot in December, which I could see it help keep the momentum going with the Switch Lite coming out next month and everything.
Yeah, and I could see them also maybe talking a little bit about Banjo being in Smash. They could do, I want to say they could do another character reveal, but I don't know if that's too soon compared to the two we just got at E3. You know, I kind of anticipate that that's going to be one of the announcements they have at the Game Awards. That just kind of seems like that's something Nintendo's going to do. They're going to drop another character announcement. I would hope if they do a September Direct, which they typically do, they would also talk about maybe a game that they're going to show off in December. And if they don't, then maybe they're just not going to have one. Maybe Pokemon is it, because now is the time to promote whatever it is if they do have one. So
yeah, and I've seen this, some people say, like, why Overwatch now? But maybe, you know, they did Diablo last year. It seemed to do pretty well for them, for Activision Blizzard. And maybe that's the, and maybe now that they've got Overwatch working maybe locally, so you can do a 3-on-3 match with local wireless, and then Overwatch, from my understanding of the PC version, granted I've never played the game, but it seems to run pretty well on lower end systems, like in things that are similar to the Switch's architecture. So getting it running at, you know, full frame rate, maybe not full resolution, but certainly full frame rate and handheld mode seems like a not too much of an ask, maybe?
Right, yeah. And I think that Overwatch, you know, was one of those games that people were kind of like, that seems like something that they put on the Switch around the launch, you know, when they had Rocket League first coming out around that E3 in 2017. And it was just kind of surprising that like it just didn't happen. And I think maybe that my interpretation is like the mindset was like, okay, well, the Switch is a portable console as well as something you can be tethered to home. So we can't really have many online only games. So why would we put Overwatch on it? But you know, I think there's been a lot of games that have come out since then that have proven that, like, again, this is, it's up to the consumer who wants to have that experience. So, I don't know if that's the case with why Overwatch has not shown up until now, but that's just my mind racing to an immediate thought. Or it could have been something as far as, like, you know, they just had a lot of things that they want to develop for it or pour it over. So that could also be the case. And a lot of people think that that means now Tracer is going to be a Smash Brothers character, which, by all means, sure.
Tracer or D.Va, there's plenty of potential candidates if they want to go down the Overwatch character jumps to Smash route. Like, there's, what, 30 different characters in that game at this point?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't played it in a long, long time, and I never really got that into it, but I have a few friends that are really into Overwatch, and I've kind of learned the game through, like, the osmosis of just conversation. And it seems like that whole cast of characters is like a fighting game in itself, ready to go. But obviously it's a shooter, so...
And now that Splatoon 2 seems to be going into sort of maintenance mode, sunsetting a bit with the Splatfest ending, yeah. Well, there is room for a hero, you know, this multiplayer type game on the Switch. So hey, why go? May as well go big with a game that's got its own pro sports league now.
Right, and they had said that they're not planning on doing a Splatoon 3 anytime soon. So who knows what they're up to?
Yeah. Splatoon 3 honestly sounds like a Switch 2 game at this point.
Yeah, Splatoon 3 on Switch 2.
Well, that's what happens when you get the Wii U in there.
Yeah, or the new Switch. It's coming. I know it's coming.
other things that have actually been announced here. This, speaking of things that leaked out, we had the leak yesterday from the GameStop Managers Conference of an Aladdin and Lion King, or as the box art apparently designed by Capcom calls it, Loin King.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah, so the Aladdin and Lion King, the mid-90s action RPGs, the ones... Unfortunately, there was some thought that, oh god, maybe they got the Capcom one for Aladdin from the Super NES, but no, it's the Genesis version of Aladdin... and the Genesis SNES, which I wasn't aware there was a difference, because honestly, I think I played the same thing on PC, and the Game Boy versions of The Lion King are getting a full Digital Eclipse treatment up-res graphics, rewind function.
So is there any difference among the many different iterations of The Lion King amongst these different platforms?
I think the Game Boy version, just by dint of the fact that it's a mid-90s Game Boy game, is going to have fewer levels than the Genesis and Super Nintendo versions, but I think it basically the biggest difference is going to come down to music. Different sound engines on those two games.
But by and large, The Lion King is a pretty similar experience across the board. Just your mileage may vary based on the platform, whereas I'm under the assumption that the Aladdin experience was very different depending on which game you played.
Because the SNES Aladdin game was basically a Capcom action adventure game, which they were on their game with in the early 90s, whereas this Virgin one is more of a, I think the term I've heard it used to describe it is more of a European style platformer which can be very frustrating at times. But the Genesis version of Aladdin, I think, also was like the third best-selling game on the system in North America. So there's a lot of pent-up demand for it for that game, especially since we had the live-action versions of Aladdin and The Lion King come out this year and make a boatload of cash.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. I didn't see either of those movies because I'm just not interested in them. That's a whole other conversation. But, you know, I never got to play any of these SNES, Genesis, Disney games or DuckTales, anything like that. And so maybe this isn't the platform, but I am interested in, like, why these stopped, why The Lion King, DuckTales, and Aladdin in particular. And I know DuckTales, I think, was also Capcom. Why did they make these like licensed IP games and then not continue that on throughout the years? Like, why did they stop here if these games have sold so well? And I hear them talked about quite a bit on different podcasts and discussions that I've listened to. So it's interesting to me that these are being remade, but I haven't heard anything about future titles being made in that, like, series.
Well, a part of it is just that Disney doesn't have a lot. Like, they got out of internal video game development about 3.5 years ago now.
Sure, after the Epic Mickey stuff.
Yeah, and Epic Mickey and Disney Infinity especially burned them. So, if they can go get Digital Eclipse, who they do good work, but they've got a lot of experience with this kind of thing, you can just have them put a collection together. Apparently Disney got the publishing rights back for these. Then that's a lot easier than developing a brand new game in 2019 that would be based on those properties, or just plopping out a cell phone game at this point, because that's where most of the licensed stuff seems to be nowadays.
Right. So it's interesting that this is happening now. What a weird thing. And the Aladdin title that was made by Capcom is not on the Disney Afternoon Collection. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, that's because, like, the Disney Afternoon Collection was strictly an NES thing. So by the time Aladdin...
And that never even came to Switch, I think.
No, it hasn't. Which I'm extremely disappointed about that, but, well...
Yeah. I think these games are 4 years older than me. I think they came out in 93, it looks like. Quick Wikipedia search.
Yeah.
Whereas I did not grace this world till 97, so... Weird.
God, I'm old.
You're good.
Yeah, so that'll be out in October 29th was the release date for that, and it'll be in stores and, of course, on the eShop. And finally this week, speaking of Capcom platformers, they've announced the third Mega Man Legacy Collection of what will probably be four, because if they can cram 20 Battle Network games together, that should be an easy release. But the Mega Man Zero and ZX games will be bundled into one package coming out in January of next year for the Switch for $30. Again, same price for this collection. And that's covering the 4-0 games with the easy mode that they added for the DS collection, and then adding that same mode to the two DS ZX Advent games, or ZX games, which I think are just are renamed sequels, basically.
So this is all the X games, just to clarify.
This is Zero and Zero and Z, what they called ZX, because there is already a Mega Man X Legacy Collection. I think it came out about a year ago now on Switch. Okay.
Yeah, that's where, like I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the Aladdin or the Shovel Knight stuff, I never really got into Mega Man. They kind of lose me after they get away from the numbered ones, like all the X and Zeros and Proton. I just, it's a lot. The naming conventions kind of confuse me, and I've never really given them the effort of looking into them. Plus, the gameplay doesn't seem like something I'm super interested in, but it's good to hear that this is continuing and it's being made more accessible for people who are fans of that series.
Yeah, so it's a sort of more casual, like, they've added that casual mode there, because the one thing that those Zero games were known for on the GBA is that they were really freaking hard and punished you for using the abilities. Like, you were graded at the end of each level, and you got a lower grade if you used your powers.
Oh, wow. That seems harsh.
Yeah.
Why even put the powers in the game, then, if it's so bad to use them?
Like, I think you maybe could get away with it once, or when you got to the boss, but that might be it.
That's it. That seems so silly. Hey, kids, like, don't forget to use your razor blade jumps, but if you do, you get an F. Weird. Does the gold Mega Man Smash Brothers amiibo do anything? Because I do have one of those, and I've always wanted to be able to use it for something that's not.
I don't think they work in the Switch versions. Like, I think that has some function in the Mega. In I think it actually works in Mega Man 11.
Oh, yeah. Really?
But it, I know the main place that it was designed for was the 3DS version of the Mega Man Legacy Collection, which you can you can usually get for about $6 on the eShop nowadays.
Yeah.
I
enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I played more of that game in the gallery mode than I did the actual Mega Man game, which is just funny to think about. But I was very fascinated with all the stuff that you could probably see on Google for free. But it was just kind of neat to see on my 3DS. Yeah.
I mean, I actually bought it. I bought the 3DS version, then I bought the Switch version. And I played the Switch version as I broke my own back. But anyway.
Oh, no.
That I bought it right for the for a fateful trip to Toronto that ended up with me breaking my back and flying home in pain. Don't want to.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah. But that, like I said, January 2021 for that. And, yeah, that's it for the news this week. Apologies for missing the last couple of weeks, but between vacation and then my work being an absolute terror, I wasn't really in the mood to talk to much of anybody, honestly.
Well, thank you for having me on, Donald. I'm glad to have been here and be able to go over the news with
thanks
you.
Thanks for coming out, Xander. And where can people find you on the internet?
Well, I'm a lurker, but I am on Twitter at Morning Shark. And of course, you know, I try to make videos and reviews for NWR, so you can find me on MWR YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube.
And that's where
YouTube.
I'm at.
YouTube.com/NWRTV. Xander is our Luigi's Mansion specialist, especially.
Yes, that's funny. I've kind of really adopted this. Every time there's a Luigi's Mansion news drop, I'm all over it. And we recently had like a 45-minute video that came out of GamesCon that I have watched too many times and I've taken notes on, and I'm in the middle of making a really big video, and by the time I'm done with it, the game's gonna probably be out. But you know what? It's fun. So
yes, and of course patreon.com/NWR, support the site that supports the show. And if you're there on the Patreon, you will be getting this episode way before anybody else does. And of course, NintendoWorldReport.com for all the news, reviews, all of that good stuff. So thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.